If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, does this ham smell right to you? We're cleaning out the sound fridge.
Awesome.
Armstrong and Getty.
One more thing.
Happens semi-regularly. The guys assemble all this great sound, and we just don't get to all of it, and you hate to waste it.
Before we get to that, Michael has got a theory on the Gabby Petito murder.
I do. I think possibly the parents sent the police out into the woods to get them, you know, lost, so to speak. Meanwhile, their son goes off to Mexico or Cuba.
Hadn't considered that. But that's
the old misdirection play, the head fake.
If they are into covering up for their son, which they almost have to be. I mean, you can't explain ignoring the parents of a missing woman.
And the love of his life, allegedly. The family, the Laundrie family, had a close relationship with the Petito girl, at least.
She,
not the whole family.
She lived with them.
Right. That's right.
The couple lived with them.
It's their daughter.
So they almost have to be covering for their son. So, yeah, the whole he left Tuesday and headed toward the swamp might be completely bogus. He might have left Monday and they paid for a ticket for him to get on a Greyhound bus to Canada.
Ah, wait a minute. And the cops declared their home a crime scene, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe the crime was, accessory after the fact, misleading investigators, making false statements, etc.
That would be a weird thing to do. But remember, they're in the a podcast may have solved that killing from many, many years ago in California. We followed that for a while. I don't remember the girl's name, but she disappeared from college. Last seen on the corner leaving a party with this dude. He'd been a suspect forever. Well, it turns out that kid probably killed her at the time and went home and dad helped him get rid of the body.
Correct.
So this does happen sometimes where you find out your kid is a murderer and rather than, make them pay the penalty for an awful crime, you help them cover it up.
Yeah, well, especially if there's some, and this is not in my mind, this is in the minds of some parent, some extenuating circumstance. They got into a lover's spat, she threw a punch at him, he hit her back, she fell, etc. They think, well, he didn't really commit murder, not really, I'm going to help him out. Or in the case of that ancient killing, everybody was drunk, nobody's real clear on what happened, but clearly the girl is dead. And some parents in their mind could rationalize, well, it's not the boy's fault, really, so we're gonna take care of this.
Wow, well, I have a feeling they're going to figure this out.
Yeah, indeed. So let's get to, I'm sorry, what were we doing here? That's right. I knew I had a chore I had to take care of. This is Cope, Colorado. Michael, it's a town of 56 humans.
Yep. I thought this was charming. If you like small towns like I do.
Go ahead.
We are in Cope, Colorado.
We have about 56 people that reside in the town of Cope. We have a post office. We have two churches.
And no phone booth.
That was a significant piece of our town history. It's been in here for 50 years.
We would appreciate it if we would ever get it back. That would be fun for us.
The traffic along 36, it's amazing that would stop, you know, all of a sudden come around the block and look at it. It was just kind of a novelty. I mean, it's just sad that somebody would take our little phone booth.
There you go. They got 56 people in a phone booth, and somebody stole the phone booth.
People suck.
Bastards. Hate it. Clip number four sounds compelling. I don't know who some of the people are in it. Who's Ray J?
This is actually, well, Ray J was the guy who made the original sex tape with Kim Kardashian.
Oh.
And this is Ray
Which
J.
I've never seen. Have you seen it?
No.
You
I think
it,
I
Joe?
Saw like a fuzzy still from it once, but you know, okay. I'm not fascinated by her or whatever. I've seen pornography. I didn't need to seek that pornography out.
Well, this is Ray J's manager. In this
is,
clip.
Is he a singer or an actor? Is he somebody famous, or is he just famous for being a sex tape in a sex tape with Kim Kardashian?
I believe he was a singer, but I don't know.
And this sex tape is what made her famous, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Marketed by her mom, right?
Yep.
Weird. And then they become her and her sister's billionaires and what?
Wow. Speaking of weird things parents do for their kids, honey, this is for your own best interests. Anyway, so this is Ray J's former manager.
All I know is this. Kanye, holla at me, bro. We got part two on the laptop. Ain't never been seen. We'd love for you to have it. It'd be a great personal private NFT.
So there's another Definitely. Ray J. Kim K. sex tape?
Yeah, that was more graphic and better than the first one.
Is it ever going to see the light of day?
Me personally, I would never give it to anybody but Kanye. He's got kids, a mother, his children. Mm. It's a lot of people that didn't try to reach for that.
For a price tag, obviously, Kanye could buy it from you, or would you just give it to him and say,
you know what? I probably would, because it's Kanye, I probably would give it to Kanye.
Hey, so you got a tape of my wife having sex with another dude? Oh, sure, I'd love it. Thanks. What?
Well, his ex-wife now, right?
Still, who, what?
Well, that's even weirder. And he's obviously trying to parlay this into something or other. Yeah, I'd think about giving it to him just because he's Kanye and maybe a little record deal or something. I don't know. My man Ray J is eating ramen and dry cereal and really needs a deal.
Thanks for that. If you got any more videos of, you know, a person I was in love with having sex with somebody else, I'd just love to see them. Fantastic.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, Michael, does clip number seven need any further setup?
No, not really.
It's a self-explanatious?
Yeah, I think so.
All right.
Mom?
What?
Are you having trouble?
I cannot get out of this dumb chair. Look at that thing. It's like a sinkhole back there. And it just runs out there like a truck bed. I can't get out.
You know that. You sat in it last time we were here, and
well,
you said the same thing.
I forgot. Well, just get over here and help me. I'm plumb out of breath. Oh, remind me not to get in that thing again. Look at it.
She sounds exactly like my grandma on my dad's side.
Exactly like Vicki Lawrence from the Carol Burnett
Show.
Yeah,
she does, actually.
What was that character's name?
She was just Mama.
Yeah, it was Mama's family.
Mama's family, that's right, yeah. You know, I thought that clip was cruel when I saw the description of it, but it is actually pretty endearing.
I've got a few comfortable chairs that if I sit down in them, it's going to be quite the struggle to get out.
Mama, you said that the last time you were here and you sat in that chair. I forgot. Oh, beautiful. You know, we actually played this clip on the radio show, but it's so great. Let's do eight again.
We will be charging four counts of first-degree murder.
Standing off to the side, apparently translating every word, this woman. But it turns out much of what she was signing was nonsense. She waved her arms around like she was singing Jingle Bells, says one outraged sign language expert. The woman, identified as Derlin Roberts, has a string of arrests for fraud. So how did she come to be translating at last week's high-profile police news conference?
I just didn't ask enough questions.
Tampa Police Public Information Officer Steve Hegarty told me the woman simply showed up out of the blue and offered her services.
The reason this can happen regularly, including to the level of being the person who's signing for the president, is because the whole thing is unnecessary and nobody's got the guts to pull the plug on it. It's been around forever. It seemed like a really nice gesture, but it's just not important.
I think most of America, if the audio or the dialogue is tough to hear, we all know how to turn on closed captioning. If I'm deaf, I sure as hell know how, if I want it, or I'm reading lips or whatever. Yeah, it's kind of, like you say, it's virtue signaling, I think. That's funny, though. She just got up there and started waving her arms around, pretending to sign. Oh, I just love that. Those Mar jokes, are we going to bring those back for tomorrow, or you want to?
We probably should.
Yeah, they're pretty good. Good commentary. All right, we'll leave them in the sound fridge for now.
They can stay in the fridge. They're not starting to look green and have a funky smell yet. What goes bad the fastest in the fridge, in your experience?
Well, I know my level of caution is highest for like fish and seafood.
Okay, I don't
want to eat that in the first day.
Don't ever eat that stuff. But taco meat seems to get fur on it faster than about anything I can think of.
Yeah, taco meat is fertile, no doubt.
Man, you eat taco meat, you got like one day, and it's going to need a shave. It's got a full 5 o'clock shadow.
I'll stop.
That is really making me want to vomit. So Judy texted me and said, when you get home, have some of the deviled eggs in the fridge because today's really the last day we should eat them.
I would eat every deviled egg you got if it was here right now.
Oh, they're so good, dude, too. The recipe is so good.
Oh, I love deviled eggs.
But pitching I ought to eat them because they're at the end of their edibility is an odd pitch.
Well, and then just the always weird thing of, if you don't eat this, we got to throw it away. So I'm helping the world somehow by not throwing them away. How is this benefiting anybody, really?
Well,
I do it every day. I do this every day. Or I eat stuff just because I don't want to throw it away.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense.
Oh, no. Absolutely not. No. So, yeah. Hey, these are almost spoiled, so eat up. Oh, well. Maybe I'll sniff carefully. You know, I'll look at it. Maybe touch it a little bit and pop it into my mouth tentatively. And
while we're talking about furry hamburger, when I was in college, my favorite bar out in the country was Dick's Corner Tavern in Kathrunstadt, Kansas.
Jawohl.
And it was all Germans that lived around there who had settled. And if you ever read the book, what was the book about?
Mein Kampf?
That is a book about Germans, but it was one about the drought, the depression, the whole,
the worst hard time.
Yes, the worst hard time. Anyway, it explains why all the Germans came over and settled there and everything. It's really pretty interesting, maybe for me because I'm from Kansas. But they built these towns and they stayed very, very German. And even when I was in college, there were lots of old Germans that spoke almost entirely German.
Wow.
And in Kathrunstadt, where Dick's Corner Tavern was, Alfred was the guy owned the place, and he would be there, and there was never more than four people in that bar ever in the history of the bar. But I like going out there, and raw hamburger was a thing that the old German dudes would eat. They just have a bowl there of raw hamburger.
Oh Lord!
From a freshly butchered cow, and then they just put salt and pepper on it.
And is he sick enough?
And you'd eat it with a cracker.
Wow, a freshly butchered cow, though.
Yeah. And Alfred, the bartender, and his friends would speak in German, and you never had any idea what they were talking about. But one time I'm eating the raw hamburger.
They were talking about you.
Quite possibly.
Look at the bald-headed idiot over there swilling his beer. Can you believe that?
One time I'm eating the raw hamburger, and my buddy John says to me, hey, take a look at that. And it's kind of dark in there, like in most bars. It's nighttime, and I give it a close look, and man, it is so furry.
Jeez,
I mean, it is full on.
Oh, like so gross.
Like the fur of a cat on there.
No, stop it.
You know, it's probably been sitting out all afternoon, and because it was completely raw, like fresh, it would turn so fast.
Oh, God.
And I don't know how much of that I'd eaten, but man, I kept it down. I got a little, but I...
Oh, this is the worst one more thing ever. So gross.
Yeah. Well, we were talking earlier about how we're so careful with food and everything like that.
Well, and I eat sushi. Cow's as good as a fish, right?
Sure.
But you Among God's creatures.
You got to eat it on the fresh side.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, this is the worst one ever. Well, I guess that's it.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.